It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And we are off and running for yet another live broadcast here on the Horn as we move through 2018. It is the 16th day of January 2018. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and HeadOn.live are where we live. And I'll get the whole domain registration thing taken care of after the program this evening because I didn't get it taken care of last night. I'm a terrible person. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. And apparently, I don't know who I'd rather have for a ship's doctor, that guy from the Love Boat, or that guy who stood up and tried to bamboozle a nation today from the press, White House press briefing room. Hey, we'll get into that in fairly short order. This, of course, is a listener-supported broadcast operation, and we've got a merry band of a very few subscribers, and I want to thank them right off the bat. Thanks very kindly to our buddy Glenn up in New York. Thank you, Glenn, for being a subscriber. Thank you to our buddy Reinhard there on the coast of Virginia. Thank you, Reinhard, and thank you very kindly to Timothy in Arizona. Thank all three of you for being subscribers. Those are the subscribers for the Horn for the 16th day of the month. If you'd like to be a subscriber, you can always go to the PayPal interface, well, you know, when I get that whole domain thing taken care of. But in the meantime, just go to PayPal, the PayPal link over at headon.live, and you can just put in whatever number you want, and we'll be off and running. If you'd like to participate in the Patreon campaign, we need subscribers there to get us up over at least one evening of the year, or of the month, rather. Patreon.com/Bob Kincaid. There's a link to that at head on live as well. I am told that we are running we're running hot and true on both streams at the moment, and so thank heaven for small miracles. That means that I can sort of remind folks at this point in time, if TuneIn goes out, if the White Rose Society stream goes south, you can always get the program at headon.live, okay, because it is a lot less prone to having problems of late. Okay, so and you know where the fundraising stands, we need to raise $200 this evening and for the next four nights, and then starting next week, fundraising free radio, which is freaking awesome, with the exception of thanking subscribers, fundraising free radio. And that's a beautiful thing, I can promise you. It means me not having to yak at all about, right, you get the idea. And that starts next week, and we will have at least 7 days, not 7 days, we'll have at least 5 broadcast nights of fundraising free radio going forward. Now, so let's see, you know, it's been a while since I gave out the mailing address for the Horn. If you want to do checks, money orders, that kind of thing, make them payable to the Horn, not Bob Kincaid. I never see them. and then send them winging toward the mailbox, the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801. And remember, that's the stuff that Boss Man Wayne handles, so the only way I'm going to know if you're going to do something like that is if you send me an email to bobkincaid@gmail.com and let me know, and then I'll tell Wayne to watch out, and he can, you know, just forego the spider-proof gloves when he goes to the mailbox. Cool. So today was the results of the presidential fitness physical exam day. And with that in mind, and considering the fact that he was declared to be super healthy, and, well, we'll get into all of this in a minute, but given that the man eats a diet that consists almost of nothing but fat, I asked the hardworking peripatetic periodontic scientists over at Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Well, you're in luck, Anatole. Anatole says, I need a supplement to help me fix my boner, Mr. Bob. Well, that's about as much as you need to know about that right now. But anyway, yes, in celebration of the massively awesome presidential physical exam, and in celebration of the fact that the presidential diet consists almost entirely of nothing but pure fat, the hardworking peripatetic periodontic scientists at Horn Labs on Twitter, Horn Nutraceuticals, prepared a concoction for me to tell you about this evening that I know you're going to want right away. That's right. Only from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, taintless tallow. That's right. Taintless tallow is a vegan, non-GMO, gluten-free, free-range, cage-free, cruelty-free, nutritional supplement made entirely of grease. Taintless tallow from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Yes, that's right. It's another bullshit nutritional supplement because you can't have a real, live, honest-to-goodness professional radio show unless you're out there hawking some sort of bullshit nutritional supplement. And let me tell you something. Coming up with vegan beef tallow was an accomplishment, to say the very least. Yes, you're not going to find any better taintless tallow out there than what you're going to get from the hardworking periodontic peripatetic scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. No, sir, you're just not, doggone it. And the rendering process is it's a little bit pricey, so you'll need to kick in. You'll need to shell out. What is it? There it is. There's the price tag. $113.57 for a 3 month supply. But when you order that 3 month supply, of course you know by now that we'll send you a bundle of test strips, so that there, sitting in the privacy of your own home, quivering and shaking, with the realization of how thoroughly you have been taken in by a bullshit nutritional supplement hustled on the radio, you can test your taintless tallow and find out what we already know, that it has no nutritional value whatsoever and is, in fact, just another bullshit nutritional supplement such as is offered by all kinds of professional radio programs. Taintless tallow. Only from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Mm-hmm. It's all right there for you. Use no hooks, post no bills, accept no substitutes. This side up, COD, FOB, GREASE, taintless tallow. That's right, the taint has been removed from all the tallow that goes into taintless tallow here at Horn Labs. Goodness gracious. It's gross. Taintless tallow from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Icky, isn't it? Yes. But apparently eating all that grease is good for you because it made a 71-year-old man grow an inch in height. Yeah, the report was sketchy enough that if you paid attention, well, okay, let's just do this slowly. Don't just jump into the hoopla. note coming from Ron in Raleigh. Subject line, first, do no harm. Did the doctor that allegedly examined Dolt 45 take the hypocritical oath when he graduated medical school? P.S., where did the heel spurs go? Those things don't just dissolve. Well, the whole thing, it was an exercise in not finding what you're not looking for. Because and by the way, I know, people speak at different rates of speed, depending on where they come from and things like that. And at one point in time, this doctor confessed to inadvertently ODing Donald Trump on Sudafed. You know, Sudafed that you make meth out of. And that was what accounted for him. God bless America. That was too much Sudafed. I've never known Sudafed to do that kind of thing, but maybe he had taken so damn much he just had him chomping the air gum, and that was all there was to it. Grinding them jaws. Grinding. Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana says, Bob, I'm going to change my diet to nothing but KFC and Big Macs since I now know it's a healthy part of a balanced diet. Well, there you go. Yeah, because Dr. Ronnie Jackson, and remember, when they told us about Dr. Ronnie Jackson on Friday, he was Dr. R-O-N-N-I-E Jackson. That's right, the White House Communications Office couldn't have been even, it wasn't even bothering to find out how to spell the guy's name right. All those years in medical school and up to his elbows in guts and cadaver pieces and they misspell his first name. Well, by today he was Dr. R-O-N-N-Y Jackson, but it really didn't matter much. Sarah Hustlebuck Sandbags stood up there and read droned on and on and on about the guy who wrote a letter of recommendation for the guy who did the exam. I don't recall anything like that ever before with a presidential physical. But then Dr. Ronnie Jackson got up there, and he spoke at roughly the same rate of speed as an auctioneer. I kid you not. Well, most of you have seen it or heard it by now. He was flying. He was talking so fast. I ever sit down in a room with a doc talks that fast, I'm like, hey, slow down. We're talking here. You're talking so fast, it sounds like you're trying to either get out of here in a hurry or put the hustle on. There we go. You see, Michael in Madison gets it. I still haven't found what I'm not looking for. Ah, yes, that classic U2 hit single about Trump's doctor. There we go. And I still haven't found what I'm not looking for. Oh, sing it, Bono, sing it. No more singing tonight for me. Well, I mean, if we hit the fundraising goal, no more singing. It's pretty simple. But so that he started out and was just flying. He was just buzzing through reading. First, he read to us their report showing what he had and didn't have and the tests that were run. And I was lucky insofar as I had the magnificent Agnes, Viking warrior princess and former nurse, sitting there watching it with me. And all she kept saying was, no way I'd ever go to that doctor. Because he was reading along, and he read the report and read the report, and then they opened the floor to questions. And that's when things started falling apart. Because there were a lot more curiosities than the doc could answer. Clarity pointing out, Jack Spratt could eat no fat, his wife could eat no lean. I hope you have a low-cal version for her. Matt in San Francisco, ain't right is the subject line. That doctor taint right. Tis true. Earther, meanwhile, says, Dr. Rivera, Dr. Nick Rivera, please report to the coroner's office immediately. Ah, the coroner. I'm so sick of that guy. Same with Drumstock. I know, Earther. I know. But no, he's 6 feet three now and 239 pounds. And we were cruising along just fine until, of all people, Dr. Sanjay Gupta of CNN just had to up and ruin the party. Because he did. Because there was Dr. Ronnie Jackson talking about what a fantastic physical specimen Donald J. Trump is, and how he performed the Montreal cognitive skills test on him, and he passed it with he scored a 30 out of 30. You think it would have been a 20? They would have announced it if it was a 28 out of 30. If it was a 26 out of 30, that's considered passing. But below that, problems. But he got a 30 out of 30. And he was pressed for why he thought that was. And he said, well, I guess it's just his superior genes. Which I wouldn't have paid any attention to. Were it not for the fact that Donald J. Trump is more than about half a eugenicist and prattles and blathers on about the exquisiteness of his genetic makeup any opportunity he's given. Of course, I've got fabulous genes. That's why I'm so smart. I've got great smart brain genes. But Sanjay Gupta ruined everything. Here's how.
Dr. Gupta, just to be clear, though, yeah. Dr. Jackson, he is taking cholesterol-lowering medication. He has evidence of heart disease, and he's borderline obese. Can you characterize that as excellent health?
I mean, I think based on his current cardiac, study, I mean, his heart. It's very healthy. Those are all things that we're looking at with regards. Well, you're a nurse surgeon with, there's stroke issues there too. But,
Do you hear that? Okay, I want you to understand. I haven't sped anything up for Dr. Jackson there. Compare the speed, the rate of speech of Dr. Sanjay Gupta with that of Admiral Dr. Ronnie Jackson.
Dr. Gupta, just to be clear, though, yeah. Dr. Jackson, he is taking cholesterol-lowering medication. He has evidence of heart disease, and he's borderline obese. Can you characterize that as excellent health?
I mean, I think based on his current cardiac, study, I mean, his heart. It's very healthy. Those are all things that we're looking at with regards. Well, you're a nurse surgeon with there's stroke issues there too. But we're focusing on his cardiac health and as an indicator of what the risk of his vascular health might be like. He has he has no evidence of peripheral vascular disease. His heart exam, like I said, I think was in the excellent category for his age and sex. So I think that despite that you've mentioned, I think that we're doing a decent job with his cholesterol. I would say that. The dose of his cholesterol medicine is very low. He takes a very low dose of his cholesterol medicine right now, so we have a lot of room to increase that. Most cardiologists would put a patient on a larger dose of cholesterol medicine than that to start with, so we're going to up that, and I suspect that when we do that, his LDL will fall even more. And then, like I said, if we do the diet and exercise, I mean, I just don't think that, that he's got much room to do anything else.
Simple question. Why is that man talking so fast? One, he's got a southern accent. And for those of you who listen to this program, you know that we who speak southernese we tend to speak a little bit more slowly than folks from other parts of the country. And I mean no slur or anything, but you'd expect speed like that out of somebody who was maybe, say, from the greater Chicago area. Or maybe, you know, Queens. But we Southerners, we're a little more, oh, I don't know, laconic in our approach to speech. I don't know if Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags threatened to do something to his children. I don't know. But that was the pressured speech of a man who knew he was lying or hiding something. Matt in San Francisco says, perhaps the doctor is paid in kilos of cocaine? Hey, this is a guy who apparently OD'd his patient on Sudafed, so a little speed, you know, just a little bump. He talked about how he recommends that everybody on international trips takes Ambien and... Yeah, he's a regular old Dr. Feelgood. But there's, because that's a fact. One, he's now 6 feet, Trump is now 6'3", where he wasn't before. And they got him, that 239 pound at 6'3", he's borderline obese. But you can't come out and say that somebody who is superior in every way, from his whiteness on down, you can't say that that he's obese. There would be a tantrum of epic proportions back in the residence over something like that. And then he made reference along the way to, maybe Mrs. Trump will help him eat a healthier diet. Are you kidding? He locks himself in his bedroom to hide from her while he eats the Big Macs and the KFC. Please. But this is all about the questions that didn't get asked. Here, let's try one on for size. Doctor, given the fact that your patient has bragged and at the very least admitted a history of unsafe sexual practices, did you look for any evidence of sexually transmitted disease? Doctor, given the fact that your patient is an admitted multiple adulterer and described the 1990s as his sexual Vietnam, did you counsel him on safe sex practices? It's about the questions you don't ask, and it's about the tests that you don't run. And then that's true, too. Matt in San Francisco pointing out, anyone who's seen the picture of Trump's golf swing knows he's well over the borderline. Yeah, he's got that big guy swing. But he's also got that septuagenarian swing, too. I imagine my golf swing would be a little bit off simply because of, you know, the whole thing with my spleen and everything. That's why I don't swing golf clubs. But again, it's about the questions you don't ask. You know, they ran what they called the MOCA test, the Montreal Cognitive Assessment. But then he had to be clarified later on by a question from one of the reporters. This is not the same thing as a psychological or a psychiatric evaluation. And went to great pains to say, I wouldn't have done one of these. I'm around Donald J. I'm around Donald J. Trump every day. Every day I'm around Donald J. Trump. I see him all the time. My door is right across from the elevator to the residence. And so I talk to him about it every day. And I didn't see any reason for him to need cognitive, but he asked me for it. He come to me and he said, Doc, I want one of them. You got to give me one of them cognitive, because I got to prove everybody that I'm sane. And I ain't never had no president ask me to do something like that before. By the way, you just heard me doing that. How sane does that sound all by itself? You ever watched a trial? You ever seen somebody lie on the stand? The bigger the lies, the faster the speech. Unless, of course, they're some sort of psychopath. Yes, there is that term too, clarity, with a two-word observation. Muffin top. Steve from Georgia Stan notes, he doesn't believe in exercising, for Christ's sake, you know, because that was he was more okay with the diet than he was with the exercise. And finally, somebody in the room full of reporters said, well, doctor, do you consider golf to be exercise? At which the good doctor seemed a little bit relieved and said, well, yeah, you know, getting out, being outside and playing golf, that can be considered exercise. Yes, yes. Look, golf, as Mark Twain once described it, is a good walk spoiled. I like golf, or I did back when I could play it. Before my spleen went on strike. If you walk the course, you'll get some pretty decent walking exercise, and it's a lovely walk. If, however, you are Donald J. Trump, who drives golf carts across greens, and anybody, any golfers in the Horn Family Community Congregation, upon hearing that, probably has seen the video too, and just recoils in horror at the very thought of it. I mean, most golf courses, they don't want you to bring the cart within, 15, 20 yards of the green. Because, frankly, you don't want tire tracks and spin outs and things like that where people are going to be playing their approach game. Donald Trump drives across greens in a golf court.
It's my golf course. I can drive my golf cart any way I want to. Let's just go knock over a coin store.
You're not getting any exercise when you drive right up to the ball, get out of the cart, hit the ball, get back in the cart, and drive to the... If it's... Right. That's not exercise. Arnold says, golf courses are for dirt bikes, snowmobiles, and ATVs, and the occasional loose pony. Have a nice day. Love the program. Well, thank you, Arnold. Thank you. All of those have probably appeared on golf courses at one time or another. And if you're shouldering your own bag, there's a good bit of weight carrying your sticks. Donald Trump could not last 18 holes carrying his own bag, because he probably has one of those Al Chervik bags anyway. Aficionados of Caddyshack will understand that reference. Jim with an observation. It says, said diagnosis is that of an action looking for a place to happen. And that's what Sanjay Gupta was getting at. He was describing atherosclerotic changes in the arteries, higher than preferred cholesterol and LDL numbers, so-so triglycerides, and swore up and down that, no, I've told you every pill he takes. I've told you every drug he takes. But Gupta apparently did know his medicine somewhere along the way, because with regard to the cholesterol numbers, he asked him, could that be a function of finasteride masking? No, that wasn't with cholesterol. That was with the PSA numbers, the prostate specific androgens. Let's go back to it. It was an interesting exchange.
You said there were stroke concerns as well?
No, I was talking to Dr. Gupta, saying that, you know, it's not just the heart, you know, that he's asking questions about. I understand that he's asking questions about vascular health, including heart disease and stroke and stuff. So I'm saying that we're looking at that. We're looking at his vascular, health overall, and it looks very good right now.
What about potential diabetic changes as a result of his weight?
He has
sugar's real good, but what about potential because of the weight? As he gets older.
I mean,
yeah. See, that was one of the things. They announced that his A1C on his blood work was 5. And that's a good number. I'm just trying to figure out when they got him to fast long enough to get that number. Because it's pretty, the Thursday night before the last Friday's exam, he was still running his yap, and the claim, you know what was interesting in there, the claim that, oh, he's eating what the White House chefs prepare for him. Bullshit. It's already been reported, and there's no reason to doubt the fact that the man is achingly paranoid and is afraid of being poisoned. And that's why he likes to eat from McDonald's, because nobody knows it's for him. Now let's take a minute with that, too, if we could, please. Yeah, he takes a statin drug. He takes Crestor. And he takes it in the 10 milligram form, and they say they're going to bump it to 20 or whatever. And Dr. Jackson seemed to think that a competent physician would have put him on a higher dose to begin with. But back to the issue the nutritionist is going to be called in to consult with the White House chef, and I don't know what the White House chef can do short of opening up a KFC in the basement of in the basement of the White House. There'd be franchising. But the question is, why would Donald J. Trump be afraid of being poisoned? His daddy, Fred, wasn't poisoned. His granddaddy, Friedrich Drumpf, wasn't poisoned. His mother, Mary, wasn't poisoned. His sister, the United States federal judge, not poisoned. Why would he, Donald Trump, be afraid of being poisoned? Well, let's take a minute with that. Is he afraid that melanoma's going to poison him? Or that maybe Don Jr. and Eric, in order to get their hands on his vast fortune, would go ahead and help shuffle him off this mortal coil? Probably not. Ivanka? Tiffany? Little Boron? As to blood glucose numbers, Steve from Georgistan writes in and says, check with Agnes, but I think A1C looks back 90 days. It does. It would be very difficult to fool that test. However, the fasting test is easy to fool. That's the one that gives you your number in real time. You can hammer a few shots of liquor and it'll drop like a rock. I had no idea. I thought liquor raised, but never mind. And then there's, see, there are things. This is the President of the United States, not some private citizen. And at the risk of going all Alex Jonesy, who's to say that was even his blood? Oh, no, we've got your blood here for testing, doctor. We thought we'd just bring it along. Because, you know, he's a very busy man, very hard for him to be fasting. And yeah, okay, he ate 3 Big Macs and a bucket of chicken at 1 o'clock this morning, okay? We've got to create a good impression for the American people, doctor. Do you understand how important that is, doctor? You want to remain a doctor, doctor? Because as we watched this afternoon, Agnes kept looking at Dr. Jackson and saying, that man's afraid of something. That man's scared. That man has been threatened. And looked at, and said, look at the tells. And I started paying attention. Earther says, my money's on Little Boron. Didn't you see the omen? Damien, it's all for you. And it's always the one you least suspect. Well, hold on a minute there, Earther. And again, I don't want to get all Alex Jonesy, but one, it seems highly unlikely that a man who is borderline obese with a diet like his is going to have blood sugar numbers that low. So maybe there's just enough of a genetic similarity. Maybe, you know, maybe it was Eric's blood. Maybe it was Don Jr.'s blood. Maybe it was Little Boron's blood. He'd probably have awesome numbers. Maybe you don't want anybody looking at blood because they might ask one of those questions you don't want asked, like looking for evidence of STDs. I know. It's a little paranoid. I understand. But I don't think it's unfair to ask these questions. Now, why would Donald J. Trump be afraid of being poisoned? And I'm going to give and you'll see why in a minute, I'm going to give a cowbell to Brother Deacon Asa. Because Brother Deacon Asa reached the same conclusion I did. Why would Donald J. Trump be afraid of being poisoned? Why would that predate that fear of being poisoned? Why would that predate his arrival in the presidency? Well, let's start with this. Paranoia is defined, as I understand it, as the irrational fear that people are out to get you. When people are out to get you, or might be out to get you, it isn't irrational, and it's not paranoia. It's caution. And going back as far as, God, the 1990s, maybe the 1980s, this man's been doing business with some very, very dangerous, shady, occasionally homicidal Russian and various other Eastern European and Central Asian thugs. And I submit to you, that is why he is afraid of being poisoned. Because, you know, if you're the Kremlin, he probably figures, they could figure out a way to slip somebody into the White House kitchen. Now, couldn't they? They're the Kremlin. They're good at that stuff. And maybe somewhere along the way, it stuck with him, the fact that, well, once upon a time, we did things like plotting to kill Fidel Castro with a poisoned scuba suit and various other CIA machinations. And our buddy Barbecue Todd in South Carolina, Stan, subject line poison, says, Manafort, Trump, and Flynn are all marked by the Eastern Bloc, a.k.a. Ruskies. And Brother Deacon Asa said he's afraid of being poisoned because he's too familiar with the Russian oligarchs he's been in cahoots with. You don't make the payment, things get bad. But this was an exercise in not looking for things you don't want to find. Doctors assess your health based upon a number of factors, and any good clinician will tell you that a person is far more than just a bundle of test results. And so, okay, yeah, his bun and his creatinine were perfectly normal. That means his kidneys work. Let's assume for a moment that the blood was really his. Okay, so somehow or another, miraculously, he's got a 5.0 A1C, even though he eats tons of industrially produced bread and fried breaded things and French fries. Starch and carb, it probably consumes enough starches and carbs for two or three people. But somehow he's managed not to become borderline diabetic yet. And the doc says that he agrees, Trump does, that he needs to lose 10 or 15 pounds this year. Great, so that's going to take him down to 225 pounds at 6'3", and he's not 6'3". Just genetically superior, I guess. But I was glad that Sanjay Gupta was there to ask those questions, because it made it abundantly clear that he is not some sort of peak physical specimen. If it was anybody else, they would describe anybody else in similar circumstances would be described as having certain risk factors for bad health outcomes. Now, granted, he doesn't smoke and has not been, is a lifelong non-user of tobacco, and that's got to help. And not drinking and to have triglycerides at 165, my God, if the man drank, they'd be a hell of a, and he'd be diabetic by now. But it's the whole thing was just kind of shady. And there was, of course, no brain scan. And there was no MRI of his noggin. And and they describe a guy who has got risk factors for heart disease as being in excellent health. That's some excellence, that excellent health. Probably one of the funnier things that was done this afternoon after this whole affair was over at MSNBC, where they began speculating on girtherism. A little jab was made during the question and answer by asking how his excellent health compared with the excellent health of Barack Obama. Because I think if you compare the two, there's a monumental difference. Chuck Todd said, today, President Trump's doctor, Dr. Ronnie Jackson, told us the president is 6 feet 3 inches and 239 pounds. Todd said, was this a bit of truthful hyperbole? Then he added, or if you doubt Dr. Jackson's height weight numbers, MSNBC's Chris Hayes suggests that perhaps you're a girther. So who else is 6 feet 3 and 239? How about Minnesota Vikings running back Latavius Murray? Or, hey, how about Carroll Phillips of the Jacksonville Jaguars? 6 feet 3, 242. Yeah, not so much. So, take it for what it is. But this whole this whole affair, this whole sketchy charade, just what I found interesting is that, we saw no signs. Does he ever repeat things? Does he ever forget people? Not around me, he hasn't. It was an artful way of avoiding things that the entire country has already seen. Well, you know, he seemed perfectly sharp to me, so there's no need to do any sort of diagnostic testing that would involve, an imaging study of the interior of his brain. They don't dare do that. But then there's one other possibility, and we have to take this into account. Everything Dr. Ronnie Jackson said could have been true. He's perfectly oriented as to time and place. He is in reasonably good health for a 71-year-old man. And as a consequence of that, there are no cerebral or psychological or psychiatric pathologies at work. And in a way, that makes a lot of things a lot worse. Because I'm Bob Kincaid, little ray of fucking sunshine. It means that the President of the United States, with no help from any sort of morbidities, is a racist, white supremacist, xenophobic, sociopathic, possibly psychopathic monster. Plain and simple. He's not getting any help. That's just who he is and how he is. And here we are in this handbasket, and I think we just passed a road sign that said, "Hell, next exit." It could just be he's a fucking Nazi. It could be that he is whom he has projected himself to be all along, and somehow or another, in the charitable nature of the American spirit, we've kept trying to find some excuse for why he is what he is and how he is and who he is. When the fact of the matter is, back on November the 8th, 2016, through the operation of an antiquated relic from our slavery past, the man who did not win the popular vote was allowed to become the President of the United States, and the President of the United States is a goddamn Nazi. Now, don't everybody go running to the liquor cabinet at once, or, you know, rolling up a big number or anything. I'd argue that in the long run, we have to deal with that anyway. A 25th Amendment question was put to Dr. Jackson. He said he thought that process would be begun by going to the chief of staff. No, the chief of staff is not a member of the cabinet. Not at all. Meanwhile, Scott and Punky. Scott says, "Hey, Bob, I'm 6'4", and I tip the scales at 295, and his ass sure looks bigger than mine. How big is Trump's ass? How big is it? Big enough to play four-handed pinochle with room left for score pads, pencils, chips, ashtrays, drinks, snacks, and a lovely FTD flower arrangement." That's a jingle for Pinochle, because this is probably the only radio program anywhere in the United States today, maybe the world, where the word Pinochle has been used in conversation. Jack in Shreveport says, "Though, how does your supposition fit with reports that he acts differently now than he did some years ago, unless he just decided to be more of a nuttier asshole?" Well, none of us remain statically the same through life. 20 years ago, I was a different asshole than the asshole I am now. And it's probably true of all of us. Given the fact that they did not look for signs of, symptomology from, or sequelae of sexually transmitted disease, I'm sticking with the spirochetes myself. Just am. Because they didn't ask the questions. Arthur noting, "Damn it, Kincaid. I'm not a constitutional scholar. I'm a doctor." Thereby working in yet another cowbell and the evening's obligatory Star Trek reference. Thank you, Arthur. So, do you feel better or do you feel worse about this? It focuses some things, doesn't it? Because for a long time we've looked at the madness of his... And by the way, he doesn't sleep very much. I'd guess 4 to 5 hours a night, says Dr. Jackson. And consequently, he probably does suffer from some sleep deprivation. That's not good for, and who knows when he sleeps. hour here, hour there, then the nightmares kick in. And I guess if anybody in that White House press corps had actually asked about, because I'm sure some people in this community know, if you're a doctor will counsel about safe sex practices. Did they even take a history on this guy? Isn't a history of risk-taking behaviors part of what makes the makes up the overall universe of healthy versus not healthy? Albert from Rhode Island says, "Bob, my favorite quote that describes our situation came from the second Alien movie. We're on an express elevator to hell, going down." And that was one of the, speaking of the express elevator to hell, one of the moments when the White House press corps' hackles got raised was when Dr. Ronnie Jackson, trying to polish the turd to a really, really dazzlingly high shine, said, "Why, this man is so healthy, he'll be healthy through the rest of his presidency and on into his second term if he chooses to run." And I thought poor old Sanjay Gupta was going to have himself a baby. Because he did everything. Now, hold on a minute there, Butch! And they called him out, and he had to backtrack, Dr. Jackson did. You can't sit here and say, based on one physical, that he's going to be the same guy right now, that he is right now, 4 years from now. You can't say that. "Well, no, I can't say that. I'm just saying. Not saying, just saying." So you see, the nature of the... It seemed that Dr. Jackson came there all ready to deal with what he thought was going to be a simple afternoon of bullshitting the American people. And instead he got caught up in his own lies. Jack in Shreveport and the pinochle, what Trump got when he accidentally dragged his hand on the bed in Russia. Oh, wait a minute. That may be the longest cowbell ever in horn history. I do adore a good pun. Let's say that again. Pinochle, what Trump got when he accidentally dragged his hand on the bed in Russia. Pinochle. Oh, that's a good one, Jack. That's a very, very, very good one. I like that one a lot. So, I guess that's the filibobster. There's other stuff that was happening today. Cory Booker of New Jersey experienced about 9 minutes of continuous outrage today, and justifiably so, because the Homeland Security Secretary testified before the Senate and proceeded to have one of the greatest cases of Republican selective memory since Ronald Reagan couldn't remember that he had forgotten whether or not he recalled that he had a recollection. And it was all over whether or not Donald J. Trump said shithole or shithouse. Because the Republicans apparently think there's a big difference between hole and house. And, you know, well, shit, that's just a word that Trump uses all the goddamn time. Want to do some conversation radio? You're mighty welcome to. Just jump right in. 304-574-8178 or from anywhere on the planet. Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. And you're right in the thick of things. We're trying to raise $200 this evening. We are at zero. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, etc. But if we can do that, I do. Now that it's a possibility, I look forward to this idea of fundraising free broadcasts. And I want them to happen. And I'm itching for them to happen. So if we raise 200 tonight, 200 tomorrow, 200 Thursday, and 200 Friday, it can happen. But only if that happens. So let's see if we can make that happen. This is Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Well, I knew that.
Oh, wait a minute.
I knew that's garbage.
Now, what in the living hell is playing? Oh, I know what it is. Okay, this will work a little better now. Here we go. Let's try it again.
Katie tried, I was halfway crucified. I was on the other side of no tomorrow. You walked in, and my life began again. Just when I'd spent the last piaster I could borrow. All night long, we would sing that stupid song. And every word we sang, I knew was true. Are you with me, Dr. Wu? Are you really just a shadow?
She's fine, and you're an ordinary guy. Has she
10, 5 minutes past the hour. Steely Dan, Dr. Wu. Yeah, I like to theme these things out. And I love that. I love that song anyway. This is the horn for the 16th day of January, 2018. As Scott asked earlier, so did Dr. Ronnie Jackson consult with his peers? Calling Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard. Well played, well played. Reaction to a recent Trump headline, courtesy of Scott and Punky. Headline, report, senior GOP representative impressed by Trump, you blew it, Bob. Headline, report, senior GOP representative impressed Trump by giving him cherry starburst. Reaction, here we go, yet another porn star. And, of course, that brings up the fact that, yeah, I guess we just live in a time, I mean, I remember when the idea of presidents or candidates having extramarital sex was a big deal that caused special prosecutors to be empowered and committees to be formed in the Congress and great anguished cries about how the flag is falling. And now it's just, ho-hum, that's just another one of the hookers Trump paid. Mm-hmm. Back in October 2016, for instance, Fox News Radio TV Rwanda had corroborated on the record a relationship between Donald J. Trump and an adult film actress by the name of Stormy Daniels. Again, Fox News had corroboration on the record. It was a proven story. Diana Falzone was the reporter. She filed the story about the alleged relationship between Trump and Stormy Daniels, whose real name is apparently Stephanie Clifford. And there was an on-the-record statement from Clifford's manager at the time, Gina Rodriguez, confirming that her client had engaged in a sexual relationship with Trump. And the reporter, again, Diana Falzone, had even seen emails about a settlement. But over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, they spiked the story. And then came the report out of the Wall Street Journal last week that, in fact, Michael Cohen, lawyer for Donald Trump, had paid her $130,000 to keep her mouth shut about the affair that she had with him. Mm-hmm. She then signed a statement that Michael Cohen provided to her, saying that she'd never had any romantic or sexual relationship with Trump. On the other hand, back in October 2016, in interviews with Slate, she pointed out that she'd had a nearly year-long affair with him in 2006. He was married at the time. He was married to Melanoma. This would be about the time that Little Boron was on the way. And Trump, it is reported, "Oh, you want to have a baby, huh? Okay, well, that's fine, but you better come back into shape after the baby, or it's you're out of here." Mm-hmm. Fox News TV Radio Rwanda has an editor-in-chief and a digital vice president. One wonders what a digital vice president... No, never mind. In the age of Trump, you don't want to know. Anyway, Noah Koch issued a statement saying, like many other outlets, Fox knew that knew that Stormy Daniels and Trump had been having an affair, but that Fox was unable to verify all of the facts and publish a story, even though they had on the record confirmation. Interestingly, Gina Falzone, or Diana Falzone, is in the midst of a lawsuit against Fox for gender discrimination. So, once again, I guess Dr. Ronnie Jackson lives in a bubble where he doesn't hear the news, where he doesn't know about the repeated references to sexual Vietnam and sexual conquests during interviews in the 1990s and aughts, where he doesn't know about affairs with Stormy Daniels, where he doesn't know that he got out of one marriage and into another because he was committing adultery with one on the one he was married to. But this is the kind of sexual behavior that would cause a competent physician to say, I think you probably need to go down to the health department and get tested. But I maintain it's the one thing that they dare not do. They can't. They just can't. Meanwhile, whatever else Dr. Ronnie Jackson has said about Trump's health, people aren't buying it. Let's see, here's one quote. He's clearly fat, stupid, and mentally unstable. But that takes us back to the previous observation. What do you do when the doctor tells you, oh, no, he's perfectly normal. Now, this is a guy who's 71, and the median life expectancy for an American male is in the neighborhood of 72. And this guy says, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, because he was kind of a smartass about it. I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to live to be 200. That was the second time he worked the live to be 200 joke into his stand-up. But, because they said, well, what kind of life expectancy can he have? And he knew that if he wanted to keep his job, and it's a cushy fucking job, okay? No matter who the president is, it's a cushy job. And it's going to lead to bigger and better things as long as you don't get fired. And so he can't say, well, look, you know, the average life expectancy for an American man is 72. He's 71 years old and 7 months. And after his next birthday, everything after that's like extra innings baseball. It just ends when it ends. You can't say that about the President of the United States, especially when you've already said that, he's going to be perfectly healthy when he runs for re-election. Oh, I had forgotten about that. Ron in Raleigh says, you may remember, and I didn't, Stormy Daniels once considered a Senate run against Diaper Dave Vitter of Louisiana, but thought better of it. How do these Republicans get people to lie for them? It can't just be the cash. By the way, her best movie was Operation Stormy. I will take your word for that, Ron. And there's another question from Arthur. But if Ronnie really asked Trump about his sex life and gave him recommendations, would Ronnie have said so in an interview? And there was some fishing around by the press corps about that. Are you sure you told us about all the pills he takes? All of them, Doc? Oh, no, every last one of them. Every last one? No, really? Because everybody in the room, male and female alike, is sitting there going, there is no way that man does anything without chemical. No, there's some little blue pill or that pill where you sit in the bathtub on the dock and watch the sunset. There's some chemical help going on. Because God knows he hasn't seen it since, I don't know, freshman year in college. Oh, well. So the other part of the day, was taken up was taken up with the ongoing question of the vulgarity of Donald J. Trump, and it was a mess. Let's start here-ish. Kirstjen Nielsen, K-I-R-S-T-J-E-N-N-I-E-L-S-E-N, a Scandinavian name if ever there was one, went to the Senate to testify today. And she didn't have a good day. I'd imagine, well, if Dr. Ronnie Jackson was counseling her, he'd suggest that she probably get her snoot out of the Aquavit bottle sometime, about day after tomorrow, maybe.
Now, last week in the Oval Office, President Trump reportedly said the most vulgar and racist things I've ever heard a president of either party utter. In fact, I've never heard any president, Republican or Democrat, utter anything even similar.
Now, this is Senator Pat Leahy of Vermont, who is old enough to have... Well, okay, he was saying presidents, not vice presidents, because it was, of course, on the floor... It was on the floor of the Senate, was it not, that Vice President Dick Cheney told him to go fuck himself, which is pretty vulgar. But he was vice president, not president, so maybe that doesn't count. But Pat Leahy's old enough, for instance, that he's probably heard no small number of, say, Nixon White House tapes. You know, the fun ones where Nixon sits around and, Henry, we could have it all if it just weren't for the goddamn Jews, Henry, the goddamn Jews. So when he says that what Trump is alleged to have said was the most vulgar thing he's ever heard a president say, understand that's a bar. There's some history there. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, going back to Stormy Daniels for a minute. Hung like Jesus with a note in regard to paying Stormy Daniels to shut her mouth. Hung like Jesus says, well, he used to pay her to keep her mouth open. And that was terribly sexist and nasty, but we're talking about a professional sex worker. They do those sorts of things, but never mind. Pat Leahy knows about some presidential vulgarity. A clarification coming in from the fact-checking department. Ron and Raleigh pointing out, no, correction, that was Operation Desert Stormy. By the way, when was the last time Melanoma allowed Nectarine Nero to roll his massive bulk on top of her and grunt and sweat for a couple of minutes? You're just, look, I'm trying not to ruin anybody's dinner, but that pretty much did mine in. And there he was, rutting on my melanoma. Atticus! Yeah, right.
Now he denies using the specific word. And there's been some, maybe he used a different word, maybe he didn't. Now, Madam Secretary, you were in the room. You're under oath.
And poor Norway. The entire country of Norway is looking at each other going, what did we do to deserve this? We didn't do nothing to deserve this. This ain't on us. This is on them. That's... Yes, before you even write, Ron and Raleigh, that's old Olaf Kincaid, right? Sven Kincaid. No, he's Swedish, Sven. That's Olaf Kincaid, I guess. Yeah.
President Trump used this word, or a substantially similar word, to describe certain countries.
I did not hear that word used, no, sir.
That's not a question. Did he use anything similar to that describing certain countries?
The conversation was very impassioned. I don't dispute that the president was using tough language. Tough language.
So what's the difference between tough language? Because I heard that all morning long.
tough language. He used tough language.
Well, tough language is... Now, listen here.
Listen here. We won't let any more... We won't let any more Haitians in over... over... his dead body. That's some tough language. I'm being tough. I'm drawing a line. This will not stand.
Tough language. But all of a sudden, she gets another case. You know, this is, and I'm not making light of the disease, but there's this Republican Alzheimer's that kicks in, where anytime they need to remember something that might not necessarily be good for them, suddenly, whoop, there it goes, out the window, can't remember, very drunk at the time. Yes.
In the room were also using tough language. If I could, the concept and the context, I believe, in which this came up was the concept that the president would like to move to a merit-based system. He would like to not and no longer look at quotas for countries.
Did he use what would be considered vulgar language referring to certain countries?
The president used tough language in general, as did other congressmen in the room. Yes, sir.
Yes, the others aren't... President, you implied the president was articulating his support for a merit-based immigration system like those in Australia or Canada. But when he denigrated Haiti, El Salvador, and Africa, a country where we are trying to have some ability to match China and others in influence, he didn't say it's because we needed more PhD students or skilled workers. He said he wanted more people from Norway. Being from Norway is not a skill.
Probably the line of the day. Being from Norway is not a skill, and we'll just sort of overlook that. I mean, Pat's getting on, and we'll overlook the fact that he said Africa was a country. Can we do that? I mean, he meant well.
And with the standard of living in Norway better than ours, you're not going to have too many people from there. What does he mean when he says he wants more immigrants from Norway?
I don't believe he said that specifically. What he was saying was he was using Norway as an example of a country that is, what he was specifically referring to is the prime minister telling him that the people of Norway work very hard.
What he was doing was yanking the word Norway out of his copious ass, because that was the last country that he heard about that wasn't Haiti or El Salvador, and because the last time he tried to refer to a country in Africa, we learned about a new, brand new imaginary country called Nambia. Nambia and Norway. And so he felt like he was on safer ground with Norway because he'd heard about Norway and the Spirakeets could still remember Norway.
And so what he was referencing is, from a merit-based perspective, we'd like to have those with skills who can assimilate and contribute to the United States, moving away from country quotas and to an individual merit-based system.
Ah, so non-white people can't assimilate into the United States. Got it. Jesus Christ, you know... Let's go ahead and just go ahead and give these fuckers the uniforms, shall we? They'll look, you know. Then they'll at least look the part. They'll look like who they are. Hung like Jesus says, tough language. What is this? Leave it to Beaver. Ward, no, we're not going there.
Norway is a predominantly white country, isn't it?
I actually do not know that, sir, but I imagine that is the case.
Okay. If she doesn't, she's the only one on the planet who doesn't. Norway is a predominantly white country, isn't it, Madam Secretary? I don't know. I mean, you know, it could be, you know, I mean, I don't even know where Norway is. Uh,
Now, the Obama administration focuses limited enforcement resources, and everybody have to admit, enforcement, the ability for enforcement is limited. You can't hit every single thing.
That's correct.
The Obama administration focuses on those who pose public safety threats. President Trump has expanded those. Now he has those who could be charged with a crime are a priority. That means millions of undocumented immigrants are subject to removal. They are a priority for removal. One of the things I learned is a...
He's going to prattle for a little bit. Look, which is a bad word to use on the radio. Consider. It's a little bit like coming to the conclusion that if Dr. Ronny Jackson was telling the truth, that we have to deal with the fact that there's a Nazi in the White House. That there's a racist in the White House. That there is... he didn't realize he was taking something away from Trump. But he did. And we have to just reach the conclusion and understand that Make America Great Again, as many people understood, especially the people who went and got the one question quadrennial national IQ test right. Make America Great Again is dog whistle code for Make America White Again. The difficulty Trump has in this, however, is the fact that most of the countries that formerly sent lots of white people to the United States are now far and away in better shape than the United States is, so that none of those aforementioned white people would much want to come here. And that's that. So if you want to continue to grow the United States, well, you're going to grow them. You're going to, as far as immigration is concerned, you're going to grow this country by accepting immigrants who already don't just get to come here because they want to, who go through a hellacious experience just trying to get into the United States. From countries that aren't white. We've got a racist in the White House. There's no getting around it. There's no hiding from it. And you know what? Saying I'm not a racist does not mean Trump isn't a racist. It was a terrible day for Kirstjen Nielsen. As Scott and Punky point out, is Norway predominantly white? Let's put it this way. When you look at the Sherwin-Williams Color Collection sample chips, it's right there. Blindingly white, Klan white, Norway white. Yeah. Hey, you know who else is white? That couple in California, and I'm sure they're religious maniacs. Whose 13 kids were recently rescued by law enforcement because they were shackled to furniture, half-starved, more than half-starved, being basically imprisoned by their own mother and father, David Allen Turpin, 57, and Louise Ann Turpin, 49. The children have been taken into state care and custody. Yeah, that's a nice white family. And let's see, 9 little girls. 10. And 3 boys. The grandparents, by the way, live in West Virginia. How did I know there'd be? And I haven't seen the follow-up yet that says these people are religious maniacs, but it's almost impossible that they're not. They lived in the home in there in Paris, California, about 70 miles east of L.A. since 2014. And nobody noticed anything amiss. Because they were all homeschooled. 7 of the children are over 18. 6 of them are minors. 50-year-old Kimberly Milligan lives across the street. She said she only saw the infant in the mother's arms and 3 other children since she moved in across the street 2 years ago. Said the children were small and pale. Why don't we ever see the kids, Milligan said she asked herself. In hindsight, we have never thought of this, but there were red flags. You never don't see or hear 9 kids. Two years ago, while walking around outside the neighborhood admiring Christmas lights and decorations, Kimberly Milligan said she had encountered 3 of the Turpin children and complimented them on the manger with a baby Jesus set up outside the house. She said the children froze as if by doing so they could become invisible. 20-year-olds never act like that. They didn't want to have a social conversation. Oh, there it is. The parents homeschooled the children strictly and required them to memorize long passages from the Bible, David Turpin's parents, James and Betty Turpin of West Virginia, told ABC News. The California Department of Education listed the Turpin address as Sandcastle Day School, with David Turpin as principal. He left Lockheed Martin in 2010. He's an engineer. And they kept on having marriage renewal ceremonies in 2011, 2013, and 2015. They went to an Elvis Presley themed marriage chapel in Las Vegas. One video shows the couple exchanging renewal vows in front of an Elvis impersonator. David Turpin's parents, James and Betty Turpin of West Virginia, said they were surprised and shocked by the allegations, say they couldn't understand any of this. Well, religion will do this to a troubled mind. But they're white folks, so they're probably okay in Donald Trump's book. Want to bet they're Trumpanzees? Want to bet they're maggots, these parents? I won't put my money against yours, because if I have to take the they're not maggots position, I'm going to lose my money. Jesus. But just remember, we need more white people, according to Donald Trump. Just got a note from Dave from Ohio. Dave said, I usually don't email, but I just needed to get this off my chest. Subject line, we need a break. I was watching Democracy Now! Tonight, and Amy Goodman went over a New York Times news story about the Pentagon planning for a nuclear attack on North Korea, conducting war games at Fort Bragg, developing new sea-based nuclear weapons, and mentioned again Trump's statement about, we have them, why can't we use them? All things that we've mentioned here on the program. Bob, by marriage, I have Republic of Korea, a.k.a. South Korea, in-laws, nieces, nephews, that I've been fortunate enough to have met. I'm only a couple of years older than you, born in 61, and I know you remember when Reagan was getting ready for a meeting and didn't know his mic was hot and recording and said in a low voice, we're bombing in 5 minutes. Actually, it was before the, if I recall correctly, it was before the recording of the weekly radio address, the president's weekly radio address, and he was clowning around and didn't know the mic was, my fellow Americans, we have declared the Soviet Union to be illegal. The bombing begins in 5 minutes. Yeah, I remember, Dave. I remember. Bob, this orange maniac in the White House makes Reagan seem sane. Agreed. When I hear news stories like these, and you reminding Todd last night about the treaty agreements between China and North Korea, combined with today's news, the scene I can't get out of my head is out of the movie The Hunt for Red October. Konovalov, crewman. Torpedo, dead ahead. Andrei Bonovia to Captain Tupolev. You arrogant ass! You've killed us! Just moments later, the Konovalov explodes. Except I picture Trump in place of Tupolev. It's getting harder to sleep. Peace, Dave. And Dave, that's why, I mean, that's why I clown around as much as I do. Because it's not just y'all participating in the program. I'm participating too. And I'm, you know, I'm awash in this stuff just like you are. You have faces to put to the names of people whose lives are at risk from this monstrosity that I don't have. And that makes it more horrifying for you. And the fact of the matter is, if there's nothing wrong with his mind, which they tried to make clear somewhat obtusely today, then that takes the 25th Amendment out of play. And that's why it was billed specifically as fitness for duty. That means there's nothing but impeachment. That in turn means that what happens this November becomes existentially important. We really, really have no time now for anything except getting the Republicans out of control. Taking the Congress away from them. And that is going to require a great deal of unity and single-mindedness of purpose. At least that's the way it looks to me. Robert, in Australia, subject line, two things, and then immediately, sorry, three things. I'm on my daily walk, arthritic, overweight, and on lots of meds, but I do this every day. Two, I saw a mock-up of various versions of the wall. The mock-ups cost $20 million or so to set up. I looked at them and thought, why hasn't anyone turned it into a reality show? Call it Breach the Wall. Contestants have 10 minutes to go through, over, or under it. First prize is a trip to Norway and citizenship. Oh, now there's an idea. Then third, I watched Spider-Man Homecoming all the way to the very last credit. Up came Film Victoria, made with the assistance of the New South Wales government and even a Made in Australia. I think it referred to the sound of the special effects. I'll be darned. Robert from Oz. Enjoy your walk. I bet it's a lovely one. I know it's a lovely one compared to where I am right now. So, are we taking odds? Can we, can those of us who still care about this country get our shit together enough to just get a Democratic majority in the House and the Senate so that some of this wickedness can be checked? I saw the follow-up today to the story that I shared last night about the man who was brought to the United States from Mexico at age 10 and is now age 39 and is being has been deported to Mexico, leaving his two teenage children and his wife of 15 years behind, and she disabled. And if it's happened once, it's happened twice, and if it's happened twice, it's happened 1,000 times. They were safe throughout the Jorge Garcia, it all began with a mistake by a lawyer, and then they managed to remain okay and safe throughout the presidency of Barack Obama. And then the minute Donald J. Trump got into office, their world went to hell. And yesterday was, in fact, the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Holiday. And Republicans spent it trying vainly to convince themselves and the rest of the nation that the President of the United States is not an overt racist. Part of this has to do with how we understand that term. Does Donald Trump, would he publicly say that he wants colored water fountains and whites-only seats on buses? I don't think he would. His is a more intimate racism. It's the racism that got him and his daddy in trouble for redlining and for racist rental policies with regard to people that they would allow to live in their shitty apartments in Queens. That's what we're talking about with Donald Trump. And he is a racist. The thing is, other members of his administration are straight up goddamn Nazis, like Stephen Miller. Like Sebastian Gorka was, him and his phony baloney accent. And so I agree with Dave. We need a break. And I'm trying to help create those breaks. Yeah, we talk about a lot of grim stuff and a lot of serious stuff here, but we try to do it in the good spirit and camaraderie and bonhomie of a community that cares about each other. And we try to laugh a little bit and just to bolster each other through this process and from day to day to day. Some days are easier to get behind a microphone than others. I was kind of eager to get at it this evening just because I found that press conference about the physical to be so utterly bizarre and so decidedly Orwellian. And I thought it might be kind of neat if we had some conversation about it. It's a quarter before the hour. Again, trying to raise $200 this evening. Again, still at zero. $400 fundraiser. fundraising goals are not easy. So if we can knock some of that down, it would sure be huge. Let's run over and check in. Apparently, Todd in South Carolina was conjured by the previous email. Hey, Todd.
Yo, I know we talked last night, but you know, you must have read my mind, or I read yours when you were talking about these terms. There's a lot of stuff going on in our society right now between the sexual accusations, harassments, forced touching, all that kind of stuff. You know, all this shit needs to be talked about. And that, you know, and with the racism, you know, the two things, because people toss around these terms, racism, bigotry, xenophobia, prejudice, and, you know, all these terms mean something, but a lot of times folks don't understand there's meaning behind these terms. And I mean, at the end of the day, I guess it matters and it doesn't maybe at the end of the day, but you know, we have to define things because that way we can combat bad things if we define them. But my point is that Donald Trump is the perfect racist because there's a component of power in racism. Like, you know, a lot of people will say, well, that cracker over there is racist. You know, maybe he's not. Maybe he's biased. Maybe he's bigoted. Maybe he's prejudiced. But you see, Donald Trump is the perfect racist because he has the power to enact his values, his mores, what he feels. And that's the difference. And that's what's dangerous. And see, all this shit is really irritating me now. Because look, these motherfuckers cannot deny he has surrounded himself with white supremacists, Klansmen, neo-Nazis, all that shit. And he has the power to enact, and he is enacting that mindset.
Yeah, and I mean, I've had some teaching and training along the way about different forms of racism. Yeah, the in your face stuff, the horrors of post Reconstruction. Rise of the Klan, the terrorism insurgency, is a different thing from saying everybody got to go to different schools and everybody got to drink from different water fountains, and that's a different thing from say, well, you know, I own a shitload of tenement apartments in Queens and we don't rent to people like you, which is a different thing from just sitting at home and saying, well, I didn't ever, nobody in my family ever owed no slaves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they all right. exist along a continuum, but they all share a common component of some sense of privileged superiority over another group of people. This country has done it with regard to Asians in the western part of the United States. God knows how many times and how many different ways we did it to the indigenous people of this hemisphere. And then there's the racism that was institutionally enacted against people whose lives were stolen and whose ancestors were stolen and brought here strictly for the purposes of being enslaved. And if we try to pretend that you've got to have all the elements of one in order to qualify as racist, then that's just a cheap dodge to keep from dealing with our racist past. Am I getting any of this wrong?
No. Right. And the point is that we're not talking about it enough. And all right. I know for a fact that you're what we call a white person, and I'm what we call a black person. And see, we both know that, that's the way we have to use this language, even though it's bullshit, because race is an artificial construct. It's more about ethnicity. Because remember, like, it used to be, well, I'm, you know, I'm Nigerian, or I'm Jamaican, or I'm Italian, or I'm Scandinavian, you know, or I'm Norwegian. You see? This white shit, that's some new shit on the block. You know, white, black, this, that. You know, it's all fucking bullshit. You know, and if you want to know how much bullshit it is, look at Brazil. That motherfucker's going to be black as coal, and they will call themselves white. And the whole community like, oh, yeah, that's a white guy. Because that's how fucked up colonialism is. It has just fucked the Western Hemisphere up. You know, and it's taken a long time to get through this. You know, and then we got your fucking good buddy Vance. I don't know if you heard NPR this afternoon, but they were talking about Appalachia. And that was interesting.
Who?
You know, they were talking on NPR. I think it was Here and Now. I don't know. They were interviewing. They were talking about Appalachia. No, it was A1. It was A1 with, it's a new show. I think it took over that. Over here, he used to show it in the afternoon. Warren Almey's show, it took over that slot. A1A, I think it's called A1A. It's out of D.C. Joshua Johnson, I think that's the host. But they were talking about Appalachia. And it went on. I mean, this went on for like an hour long. I mean, we have the podcast. It was interesting. But, yeah, so, you know, it's just really painful. It's just so painful. But I think the good thing I would say, I'm trying to be positive, and I feel a little guilty about calling tonight, but it's just a lot of shit going on. But
oh, don't feel guilty. Don't ever feel guilty.
Nah. Well, you know, it's feelings. It reminded me to tell you about the flu. But anyway, so these are like, what are we supposed to do? Because, I mean, it's a good thing in a way. I got off track. It's a good thing in a way that really, you cannot. The fence now is as narrow as the sharpest German steel knife. Okay, there's no sitting on the fence anymore. There is none. How can you defend this?
Well, I mean, you say that, Todd. But I think there's an argument to be made that there's a shit ton of fence sitting going on. I mean, look at Tom Cotton, who says, "Well, I don't remember it that way."
Well, he's not sitting on the fence. He's showing himself. Like I said last night, he's an erudite cracker. Fuck him. He's always been a dick. Fuck him. He's not sitting on the fence. He is just trying to make it. See these people? What the hell is wrong with these people? Did they think we're stupid?
No, they just they know what it takes to get them elected, and they come from, and for instance, Tom Cotton's from Arkansas, and if Haley's listening tonight, I'm sure she wouldn't take an issue with me saying that Tom Cotton, by doing that, is rock solid safe for re-election, because Arkansas is chock-a-block with people who are still racists. I mean, I'm not barking at you, Todd. You know that, but you know,
no,
God, great God Almighty. And I keep coming back to this number because I can't get it out of my head because we just got done with the Alabama election. And in that election that had a stupendously high turnout, okay, that's one to remember. That was a high turnout election. The white Christian women who went to vote said, yeah, okay, well, I mean, so what if he's a pedophile? It's more important that we have a Republican in that seat than if we have a non-pedophile in that seat. What's a little pedophilia in the Senate? And that's 63% of the white women. So that means, you know, 37% of the white Christian women were like, uh-uh.
That's crazy.
But 72% of the white men, the defenders of the flower of Southern femininity, said it's more important that we have a Republican in that seat than well, if he was a pedophile. And if he was a pedophile, Jesus done forgived him. And if Jesus can forgive him, so can I. that tells you, I mean, I'm saying this as, you know, the guy who's so goddamn white he burns under the refrigerator bulb, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That tells you how fucked up white people are in this country. And I'm not saying you would, but, you know, don't give me, well, you know, Bob, that's just Alabama. Bullshit.
No, it's not.
We can go for a walk in certain neighborhoods in Boston, and it won't take long to find people that are every bit as white and racist as the people in Alabama.
Hell no.
And the same with Chicago, and frankly the same in Denver. God knows the same in Dallas and Houston. Phoenix, please. And so that's to operate on a little bit of a tangent, Todd. That's why I kind of get the fan Todds when I see another one of these precious members of the for-profit media, and God knows the people on Twitter that put that little rose emoji by their name and shit, saying, you know, we've got to have a candidate who can reach out to those Midwestern the economically anxious voters who voted for Trump. I'm like, shut up. The way forward in this country is not by trying to get racists to be a little less racist.
No. And that's not
the way forward in this country is to build a coalition of people who want a better fucking country. And that does not include a vast swath of white America. They like this country just as it is, as long as it's not their ox getting gored.
You know what? I mean, and you know, obviously, I'm coming at this from, you know, my through my lens. And you know what I know. I've been around white folks all my life. I got white folks in my family, you know, and I go to dinner with white folks. I hear people talk. And it, you know, we have a lot of work to do because, and I'm using a blanket generalization, but this is what I see, this is what I hear. A lot of white folks, they're like, why do the blacks keep whining? They got civil rights, they can vote, they got jobs. We had a black president. What are they crying about? Blah blah blah. You know, why do they need Black Lives Matter? Why do they have to have black this? Every time I turn around, they talk about something black.
I never owned no slave.
Right, I didn't know no. Right, I'm poor. I grew up poor. So then you got to break out. You know what? I got to break out the fucking story. Well, there's a lot of salient examples that we can use. Like, for instance, Clovenhoof Bundy. Now that motherfucker just walked out of goddamn jail.
Let me tell you about the. Yeah, I'm not a racist. Let me tell you about the Negro. Yes.
Yeah, ain't that some fucking shit? Let me tell you, if there was a group of black motherfuckers with loaded guns trained at federal officers, number one, they'd be fucking dead.
Oh, no, there would have been drones and hellfire missiles, make no mistake.
So you got a middle-aged white motherfucker and his sons, and they just running rampant over land that they don't fucking own. So, in other words, they want welfare, and they're fighting for their goddamn free shit. But they want to talk shit about poor people.
See, wow, that's because Cliven Bundy and the Bundy Bunch, well, they're hard-working Americans.
No, his name is Clovenhoof Bundy, Bob.
Yeah, I know.
His name properly.
Yeah, I know, Cloven.
All right.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but they're hard-working Americans. And you know how we know they're hard-working Americans? Because their skin is white.
Oh, God. We have so much work to do. But see, folks don't want to do the goddamn work. See, they don't want to do the work. You know, and this great white hope, this great white dope, they just can't. I'm telling you, man, Washington Journal is going to be on fire this month. It is just going to be outrageous.
Oh, and by the way, Ron and Raleigh sent me a link to the 1A. And he said it was a discussion of Hillbilly Elegy, you know, the book by J.D. Vance. And frankly, if I never heard of J.D. Vance again, it would be too soon. The guy's a hustler and a huckster. And this idea that, you know, some sort of libertarian wonderland is going to propel people out of their opioid addictions and the hopelessness of Appalachia is
right.
is so much goddamn moonshine and smoke up the ass. The guy, I read the book. I didn't review it on air. It involved a whole lot of screaming and, you know, you stupid bastarding as I, and it is canned bullshit for people who want to think that they cared about Appalachia because they read some goddamn privileged Republicans' take on it. And how they need people in Appalachia just need to lift themselves up by their own goddamn bootstraps.
Yeah.
You know what, I'll just go ahead and say this. Appalachia needs a lot of the same things that the black community needs.
There are
people of color in Appalachia. We're not exactly, this is not a polar bear region, okay? It's not all white.
No, but I'm talking about inner city, ask
Dr. Bill. Dr. Bill wasn't on the air today, and he won't be on tomorrow, but he'll be back on Monday and wants to let everybody know he's okay. But, you know, Dr. Bill will tell you, he will tell anybody who even manifests an iota of interest, if you do not start with education in Appalachia, fuck everything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing in communities of color and poverty communities all over this country. It has to begin with education. And here's the thing. Education mm-hmm. does not mean, Todd, training everybody to be able to work at a Walmart. I'm still hardcore on this shit. I think students need second language literacy. Just because, you know, mm-hmm. never any second language because of what it does for the young brain.
Yep.
It does amazing language acquisition does amazing things for the information processing power of the human brain.
We're going back to the MRI. You know, you can see the blood moving now, real time. And it you can see the neural pathways being developed by language. I mean, that's a big deal.
But you know, we are at a place now, especially my understanding of it in Appalachia, we're at a place where everything is geared toward trade school. And that's not mm-hmm. saying trade school's a bad thing, but people, because it isn't, but you've got to give people more in the way of education than simply the ability to do minimal tasks as assigned by some superior better, okay?
Music programs,
right. Speech programs,
right.
Teaching things like the art of journalism or science, if you want to call it that.
Do you remember? It must have been, I don't know, maybe a month or two ago. Dr. O'Brien had a program, and basically he was touting how wonderful a liberal arts education is, and I think I don't know if I called you that day or not, but it really fired me up because. It's the truth. And I don't know. I did talk to you that day because it's about being well-rounded. And see, the thing is, people who don't have the information, they're making all these decisions of who they like and who they don't like and what's right and what's wrong. And they don't have a fucking clue because they haven't had the opportunity to have access to the type of information that will allow you to make a good decision about what you think you know. See, what you know and what you think you know are two fucking different things. And that's the beauty of the liberal arts education is that you get to understand why things are the way they are. You know, because if you just drive around any city in this country, you can always tell a black neighborhood the project. You might not understand why things are the way they are. You know, you might not know, well, you know, the reason that black folks don't have any wealth is because of a lot of reasons, like, let's say, the Korean War vet. A black Korean War vet. When he came home, he couldn't get a loan for a house in Levittown, Long Island, or in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia. All white. They didn't want no black folks. there. Redlining. So the only place we could get was when the Jews were done with their houses, you know, then we could move into that neighborhood. That's it. You know, it was like, seriously, like the city fathers would have this shit. It was like a hierarchy. You know, the blacks coming after the Jews, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, seriously, that shit, they do that shit. And, you know, enter Donald Trump. Like he said, that's how he got his fucking start with his dumbass father. But see,
here's the thing. And I'm not trying to put some sort of hierarchy on who has, you know, who has a greater right to feel more American. But Donald Trump is, on one side of his family, second generation American, and on the other side of his family, first generation American.
Mm-hmm.
He has no extended history with this country. Virtually any person of color in this country can probably trace a family lineage that goes back to the 17th century here. We're talking about knowing the American experience on a transgenerational level for 350, 400 years. You can't get any more American than that. All right?
Say it again, Bob, because people don't understand that. Say it again. I'm just kidding. But yes. Right. But you know and I know. I mean, I remember going to all white schools in the suburbs and being told we'll go back to Africa. And at the time, I really, you know, my God, I was a little kid, you know. And you know, I didn't have the facilities to come back with an argument like that because I was still learning. But right, exactly. I mean, the potato famine. You know, black people of color. Come on. And they're talking about people from Central America. They're sending them back. Number one, this was their fucking land in the first place. The mestizos, you know, before the Spanish came. But the Spanish came, what, 1400s, 1500s? Then they started intermarrying. But before that, the Indians migrated up and down all over. That's their place. So how can you get mad when they're coming back where they're supposed to be anyway? After we stole their fucking land. Number one. Number two, yes, black folks have been here. And, you know, it reminds me, and I bet you Dr. O'Brien knows about this. I forget the man's name. But there was a large landowner who was black way back in the 1600s around the Chesapeake Bay area. And he had, he had slaves. But you see, that's before black was black, white was white. You know, and he was known as a wealthy man. He had a lot of slaves, he had a lot of land, blah, blah, blah. But you see, that's before they had to start using the Bible to subjugate people. This shit is complicated. It's like an ugly, ugly roll of twine that we have to unravel and investigate and interrogate.
Yeah, and understand what. And that's not to, you know, what I'm saying about having, I'm not saying if you're new here, you're not American. I'm saying the exact opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
But for somebody who is relatively new to the country,
mm-hmm.
and that's both sides of Trump's family,
mm-hmm.
to sit and opine mm-hmm. about who is and isn't and who comes from a shithole and who doesn't. Look, I know a little bit. I know a little bit of history about about the principalities of disjointed Germany.
Right.
You want to talk about shitholes? Some of those principalities were shitholes.
Westphalia.
With some of them, if you were born male, there was a likelihood your white German ass would be sold off to go and fight somebody's war. And all the money went into the prince's pocket and not yours. Those are the so-called Hessians who the British hired, among other things, to come and fight the revolution.
There were a lot of them in Philly. Are you kidding?
And among other things, among other things, the Continental Congress authorized, you know, the leafleting saying, "Hey, you know, desert now, see America. Desert now, settle here. No questions asked. Everything will be forgiven." And a lot of those Germans did, because there was nothing to get wistful about going back to Germany. And that's some of my ancestors, I think.
Really?
Friedrich Trumpf, that son of a bitch went to the Yukon, and instead of getting down there and mucking about and moiling for gold, as Robert W. Service put it, he went into the service industry and instead became a pimp. And he ran a bordello.
That was true.
For the gold miners. Yeah. But then he wanted to go back to Germany because I guess his wife was homesick. And he went back, and there in Bavaria, they said, "No, you can't come back in. We're deporting your ass. You got to leave. You're a draft dodging little fuck." And they kicked his ass out of Germany because he left Germany to dodge the draft in the first place.
Talk ass. All right. Damn, it is something.
And so he goes back, and Friedrich Trumpf, which gets turned into Trump, is eventually born up in New York. And I guess there was enough money left from the bordellos to, you know, buy a little land, you know, what have you. And eventually he meets Mary, whatever her name was, who was poor as Job's turkey and brokered in the Ten Commandments, and fled Scotland because the little island where she lived was a shithole.
The little puddle place?
Yeah, where they had to walk across dangerous mud flats and through quicksand, literally, to go to church on Sundays. Because because the wealthy people, as a result of the enclosures, the wealthy people owned all the decent land for living.
Mm-hmm.
And she was not unattractive, and as soon as she could, she got on a boat and left America. And she did not have, within the context, you know, President Trump wants skills-based immigration. Remember that? She didn't have shit for skills, except being able to figure out how not to drown in a goddamn quicksand bog. And she
might have been sitting on a gold mine, Bob.
And then you know, along comes Friedrich Trump, and they hitch up, and boom, this. But it's not it's not exactly an immigrant story of, you know, it's not like the Nigerian physicians and engineers who come here with skills and put them to and get put to work at low wage shit for pay jobs. No, it's a different story entirely. It's their white privilege propelled them towards success. Their white skin assured their survival.
You mean like Kirstjen Nielsen?
Well, her too. And yeah, I've ridden a bunch of cabs in D.C. and the number of people who are driving cabs who came from Addis Ababa,
mm-hmm.
from Eritrea,
oh yeah, Ethiopia, yeah,
and who were engineers,
mm-hmm.
and just settled into the life of driving a cab. Because it actually paid more than you know, being paid as an immigrant engineer. Those stories are legion. I've heard dozens of them. And so lo and behold, you know, the one guy I talked to, I'm sending my son through medical school. It's the immigrant experience. Skills-based? No. What you want is determination-based, drive-based.
Okay. So, it sounds like you're expressing the experiences that I've had also in these cabs and cities where it's mostly immigrants working hard.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Asa tells me Friedrich Drumpf actually opened up his brothel right here in British Columbia, not in Yukon, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
The Drumpf family fortune started with a bordello in British Columbia.
So his BD goes way back. Okay.
Who can say?
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not. That shit's transmittable.
That's true. I mean, you give birth. That's why you're supposed to get this blood test before you have a baby. I mean, oh, God.
I guess it's a good thing he never actually bothered to learn his granddaddy's native tongue, because he would have sat in that meeting and just referred to people from El Salvador and Haiti and various countries in Africa as Untermenschen.
Hmm.
Subhuman.
Untermenschen, right. The lower. It's interesting that you mentioned the voting again, because here we come again with these folks with lofty ideas. Now, this is where rubber hits the road, because I'm really convinced now. Mueller can find out that the mentally ill fascist has personally murdered 8 women, decapitated 5 men, and maybe sabotaged, whatever. And it won't matter because it all emanates from the House of Representatives. They're not going to do shit. And the judges aren't going to do shit because they're just putting judges in.
Hold on a minute, because depending on how it plays out, there are questions that are not fully answered, Todd. It is taken as a matter of course that you cannot indict a sitting president, but that is not what is called black letter law. That's not hard.
Who's going to decide that, though, Bob? The Supreme Court cannot be trusted.
No, they can't. They can't be. But the threat of indictment is real. And I don't know. Did you catch this earlier today? Guess who's going to go have a little sit-down chit-chat with Robert Mueller because he got a grand jury subpoena dropped on his ass?
Oh, yeah, Breitbart, Steve, I'm a white motherfucker.
Yeah, racist Bannon.
Yeah.
But that was unusual because in most of the other cases, it's been a matter of, well, we'd like to politely invite you to come and sit down and have a chat with us. They didn't do any of that with Bannon. He got, and apparently it's the first one, he took it to the grand jury and said, I want you to issue a subpoena for Steve Bannon. And they did. Mm-hmm. Now, will he actually have to testify in front of the grand jury? That's an unknown at this point. But he has to show up under penalty of law.
He has to show up. Yeah, well, I'm not saying. I mean, the Mueller, he knows what he's doing. He's like the press has said, he's doing it like a drug racketeering investigation. You get all subordinate, you get them to testify on the record under oath. You get everybody's story, and then you interview the top dog at the end because you got everybody else's story. And you want to see, you gather your evidence, blah, 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 see, and then see what he says, if he says anything. And like you're saying, now this is kind of uncharted territory. There's no precedent really for indicting a president. Now, and I'm of the opinion that he will resign before that happens. He'll say that he has to deal with his businesses because he's being treated unfairly and he's losing money, and people will understand.
Well,
know,
his boys aren't genius, and neither is Jared. And the one thing is that for every minute that he remains in the White House and unable to direct the day-to-day affairs, that's another day that the people who loaned him the money get a little more nervous.
Well, there's so much shit going on. That's another thing. And that's what I was right. And I was about to say that. But right. So these folks, look, and who knows what kind of there's all kinds of shit they can do to you. He's been over there to Russia around those people. They can put shit in you, and they can like a RFD. They can put an RFD something in your body while you're asleep, and they can activate that shit. They can give you cancer from remote. They can do a lot of shit.
Well, as Flavio reminded me earlier in the program, the name you want to remember in this is Alexander Litvinenko.
Yep. You remember what his face looked like? They poisoned that. Oh, that motherfucker. They gave him triple dose. Yep. That's what they do. And it's cheap. See, they're all in cheap. Everything they did was on the cheap. They had not spent that much money at all. Which they probably, the oligarchs have money. But, that's because they skim off the top. That's why everybody's all pissed off over there. And this goes back again. It's so much shit going on. I mean, people are just fucking stupid. We know Trump's a goddamn racist. Fine, we know that. Anybody who's lived in the area, we know that.
Hey, he couldn't possibly be a racist, Todd. He sold a condo to Baby Doc Duvalier. Right there in Trump Tower. 53rd floor.
All right. He never liked blacks. He never liked Puerto Ricans, period. That's just in his makeup. It's the way his family is.
So here's something that just came across the radar. You might find this interesting. So the Stormy Daniels business.
Yeah.
He was having a sexy time with Stormy Daniels at the same time that his wife, that Melanoma, was pregnant with little Boron.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it turns out that she says she told Slate, Stormy Daniels did, that all of her liaisons with Trump were arranged through his bodyguard, Keith Schiller.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Here's the fun part. If you consult the Steele dossier, you'll note that Schiller is the same guy who is supposed to have arranged the prostitutes for the Golden Showers party in Moscow.
Oh. Yeah, and he claimed he just stood outside the room and he went to bed and he don't know what happened after that. Right? Remember? That's what he said when he was questioned about that. He's like, well, I don't know what happened after, 1:30, 2 o'clock, whatever time it was. He went to bed.
Yeah, Sandra just sent that along to me on Twitter, and it's like, damn. So Schiller was serving as his procurement guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's
Cato Kaelin of women.
That's not the same thing as a pimp. There's a different word for that. The guy who procures sexual liaisons.
I don't know. The arranger. Set him up. Oh, man.
But see, I've never for a minute failed to believe the accuracy of the pee-pee party, because it fits within the pettiness and the vindictiveness. Today during the press conference with Dr. Jackson, would you say he's a germaphobe? Well, I mean, I've seen him washing his hands, and the guy shakes his food. He said, well, considering the number of hands he shakes every day, he'd be a fool not to wash his hands and use the Purell. And he worked in a Purell pitch there. The people at corporate were thrilled.
Mm-hmm. Did you see Morning Joe or hear Morning Joe this morning?
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, they were going off. Joe was going off on something similar to that. Well, you know, there's just so much. I just don't understand. There's all this evidence that this mentally ill fascist is almost, I almost feel sorry for him, almost. But see, it's not just that he's getting dementia now. He has all these other issues. And we all know, like, dementia is worse than Alzheimer's because dementia, you don't know what the fuck somebody might do. That's why it's demented. It's like just totally behavior out of nowhere. You know, Alzheimer's people, they just forget shit. You got to keep telling them things over and over. No short-term memory, no long-term.
From a linguistic observational standpoint, Robert in Australia, with the subject line "least racist," because that's what Trump says. I'm the least racist person you'll ever know. Believe me, right?
Right.
Robert observes: doesn't "least racist" mean I'm still racist, just not as racist as other people? And it means exactly that. It's like the thing where I go on and it's like a verbal tick with me for people who say I could care less. What they mean
to say is
I don't care. At all, I couldn't care less means there is no possible way I could ever care, but the phrase has been damaged by use into I could care less, which people think means I don't care, but it means I care, and I care more than zero. And it's the same thing. I'm the least racist person you could ever know. Well, that means they're on the continuum of racism. You still fall, you know, there's the y-axis and there's the x-axis and here's the quadrant that's racist and you're still in it. So Robert's 100% correct in that regard.
Robert is absolutely correct. And that alone, that statement, that irked me. I mean, well, with him, it's almost like you gotta, whatever he says is the opposite. When he says, I am the least racist person you've ever met, and then you continually say that's what, whatchamacallit, Joe was saying this morning, and I totally agree with that. Right. If you understand his character, this guy, that's what he's saying. Like, just like when he told the snake, I will never forget that. When he told that snake story. That's a biblical thing. And, you know, I'm around all these church ladies around here in my neighborhood, and they love that story, the snake story. You know, when a snake tells you he's a snake, believe him. He might help you here, he might help you there, but it's still a fucking snake. He's telling you, he told us who he is. He's laughing at us. He said, I love the undereducated. Oh, I love you. Because I can manipulate you. I love you. And, you know, I'm racist too, but I'm whatever's convenient, as long as it makes a buck, because I'm a hustler. All he needs is a guy in some baggy pants and a blunt and a 40 and stand on the corner. That's what the fuck he is, a fucking hustler.
And he could call himself Upgrade with 2 D's for double dose of his pimping. Yes.
Well, yep.
Will eventually find out that the PP tape is real.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing, though.
I don't doubt that at all.
Here's the thing. And what? This is what makes it frustrating for people like Dave in Ohio who wrote earlier. If you projected the PP tape onto a giant IMAX screen, and you had every Republican in Congress watching it, they wouldn't vote to impeach. Well, it's a man's private business. You know, I don't know. This certainly seems lewd and sordid that we're considering what his private sexuality. Where's the decency? Who was spying on him?
Well, you know, the Russians were, but...
Well, that's because they're dirty Russians, and he's making America great again. Why can't you just let him make America great again? Maybe he needs to have some hookers pee on us. Because that's the Republican Party.
It's like what I said the other night. Maybe I was talking to Scott. I'm not sure. It's a shorter trip from 33% to 51% than it is from 0 to 51%.
Right.
Whoever wants to beat Donald Trump in 2020, and by the way, he's not worried about Elizabeth Warren. He's not worried about Bernie. He says Bernie's too old and broken down and wouldn't have the energy to campaign. He's not worried about Kamala Harris. He's not worried about Kirsten Gillibrand. You know who gives him the sweats?
Joe Biden, probably.
Damn straight. Wait, you get a cowbell for that.
Well, he's an old white dude with gravitas. Who can fuck with Joe? Come on, man. He's from my neighborhood. Joe, I've seen Joe on Amtrak train going from fucking Wilmington to Philly. You'd be surprised who takes that northeast corridor, man, as a motherfucker. You see everybody on the goddamn train. And it's cool because everybody's got their drink, man. You got the drink you drank. You know, you talk to people. I've seen Cardinal Belvalacqua. But, yeah. And you know what? And it might be his time, man. And you know what? Even Mitt Romney's looking good. I don't like him.
No, see, I saw some former Romney creep. Pontificating today about how Romney would provide it's not like he'd be the anti-Trump, but he would show that you can be a Republican and still be in. And I'm like, woman, this is the guy who stood in a closed door meeting and said 47% of the American people are on the dole and a bunch of takers who won't work. That's going to be the anti-Trump.
I'm
sick and tired of hearing about how Romney. I want to know if there's a Democrat out there that can take the bishop on. That's what I want to know.
Well, look, we have to get strong, and we have to get strong. And if we really want to change things, we have to, as I keep saying, IPA, infiltrate, promulgate, and assume control, because we're only going to have two ways, just two private ways to get to this damn dance. And it's a private club. Both of them are private clubs. However, if there is a way, and the time is right, because there is no fence sitting anymore. Either you down with the program of being a real normal human being, or you want to be down with the fucking racist and disgusting people who don't have. If you work for fucking money, if you earn a check, if you do not live on interest, then you have no business voting Republican now. It's just silly. And this midterm is bigger than the last fucking, I don't know what, three presidential elections. This shit is real now, because this motherfucker has fucked up. Oh, and while I have you on the phone. You know what? I'm going off on the tangent. But you see, this State Department shit, I think a lot of people maybe just gloss that over. They don't understand what the State Department does. Now, the State Department, they do a lot of good work. Not only good work you can see, but good work you don't see. See, they gather what I would call, I don't know what they call it in the industry, but it's soft intelligence. Okay, because they're supposed to keep a diary when they go around the world, whatever. They keep a diary, they daily journal what they fucking done, who they talked to, what people were talking about, what their affect was, what the sentiments were about certain issues and this and that. And then they submit that to their boss, and that gets gone to the intelligence agency, and you need that to have corroboration.
because then they corroborate that with the people in the field, the assets, who are really the real spies. And that's how you figure out what's right and what's wrong. I mean, that's just simple investigative technique. But people have forgotten. So now it's been decimated. So dumbass, and this fucking dumbass, now how do we, you see, if he's not a Russian asset, he sure is acting like one. That's my fucking point. And I don't hear anybody on the press talking about what I just said. And I know what I'm talking about for a fact. I grew up a lot of, listen, Mary Louise Kelly, NPR, that was my schoolmate. John McCorder, schoolmate. You know, I grew up around a lot of fucking movers and shakers, and I'm still friends with a lot of people. I know how this shit works. One of my best friends is a fucking doctor, and the CIA approached her. Like I told you before, they like assets. People who already travel a lot, they got a passport, because it's plausible deniability. That's how they fucking do shit.
Yeah,
I hate to get on my soapbox.
No, it's quite all right. They have no conceptualization of how ludicrous their arguments are. Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags, for instance.
Don't start with that bitch.
Sorry. She wants to know if he's such a racist, why was it that NBC gave him a TV show? That means, apparently,
what?
That they feel really confident that nobody's ever going to give up the tapes, the raw tapes of The Apprentice, where that particular racial epithet is like every third word. You know, the one with an E and an N and an I and an R and two G's.
Okay. I've been hearing about
ginger.
That. I never watched. I really hadn't watched.
Well, I never watched it either, but we had reports back in the campaign that there were people who had worked on the program who said, oh yeah, he used that word all the time.
Uh-oh. All like that? All the time? Like that?
Yeah. He used the word saying that the raw footage of The Apprentice would contain him using that word a great deal. Meanwhile, Bill in Allentown just wrote in and said, "If it were a Democrat caught up in the same situation as Trump, he'd be out of office by now. If we had another President Clinton, they'd still be investigating her emails and getting no evidence. If we are too mollied, we deserve who gets elected in November." And you know, it's worth stepping back and looking at that. We know. We don't suspect. Okay, this isn't fake news. This is real. He had an election in 2006.
It doesn't matter, Bob.
Well, I mean, yeah, but still, you get to play the intellectual game. Let's say that Barack Obama had been getting on the nasty with a porn actress for 11 months. Well, one, there wouldn't have been any impeachment. Michelle would have taken care of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Two, there would have been impeachment. And it would have been wall-to-wall nonstop coverage. But because Donald, and you know, part of this, and I want to work through this and think through this, part of this is I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican. There's nothing you can't do. But mm-hmm. The other part of it is the degree to which the American people and a certain segment of the American people are just inoculated against the fact that Donald Trump is a filthy, sleazy, skeevy, dirty, probably disease-infested pervert.
Oh, God.
And that's, you know, and that's just, well, that's just Trump, but he's trying to make America white again. I mean, great again. He's got his America White, I mean America First policy.
Bob, I almost want to keep a spreadsheet now on Washington Journal in the morning. The folks, I can't tell you. And see, now I believe you.
can win again because there are so many Americans who vote. Old people have nothing else to do but fucking wake up and get sleep anyway. They're fucking up. Like, I'm going to get old and they don't sleep that much. But, you know, when my parents is around, you know, she's with the kids in Jersey right now. But, you know, so they vote. And that's the way they feel. I listen to these people. It does not, they are. See, I think, but you know, let's turn back just a little bit, back to pre-World War II. Most of America, they didn't really have a problem with the Nazis. They were okay with it.
Oh, Henry Ford loved them. So did old Joe Kennedy. So did Charles Lindbergh. So did a whole bunch of middle America.
Because a lot of people are lazy intellectually. They want to be told what to do.
No, and because a lot of America was fucking anti-Semitic, okay? I'm not trying to take anything away from anybody, but the Klan didn't just hate black people.
No, they hated Catholics, they hated blacks, they hated, you know.
Jews,
you know, and they are, and the fact that people were not talking about this, I read a lot now, and I listen to Jeff Rentz.
Oh, dear God.
Always has these. Oh, I do, man. I mean, I stop, and I don't want to give him any clicks, so I do work around because I knew something was up when he started because he gave a whole afternoon slot to David Duke. During the election, and David Duke started, his standing went up, you know. So, you know, in other words, we have to, as America, we have to come to, the longer we keep saying we don't have a problem with race and why you keep talking about race and you're bringing all this up, and I keep hearing this shit, just like this fucking morning. I heard a motherfucker, they had a bunch of people right from where I used to live, Trenton, Bucks County, and another place in Jersey, right in the Philly, you know, between Philly and New York, right? All white, old, you know, middle-aged white guys. Well, I would say that they sounded like white guys. I'm pretty much sure they were white. And
did they all sound like Richard Pryor doing a white guy? Doing his white guy voice? Well, I just support Donald Trump because he's making America great again.
Well, he just can't be like. No, they sounded like hard hats.
No, but look, just before we go on to the to them, let's understand something. I mean, I really think we have to get our heads around this stuff. If it turned out that one of these women that Donald Trump was having an affair with, and you know, melanoma just doesn't care. Melanoma's like, well, that just means I'm getting some relief. If it turned out that one of these women was, you know, some hot black porn actress, the Trumpansies would say, well, see, that proves he's not a racist because he was a miscegenating with one of them.
Oh, my God. I believe that. Oh, my God. I never, you know, that never even went through my fucking neuron. Man, you know what? You want something. They would latch on to that like glue on paper, man. Period.
Well, if he's such a racist. And you can almost hear Sarah Hustlebuck Sandbags right there at the podium. Well, if you fake news people think he's such a racist, why was he in bed with a stunningly beautiful negress? Smart people. Tell me that.
Why did Jefferson fuck all the?
But Sally Hemings, yeah, I know. Oh, by the way, thanks go out to Elbert in Rhode Island to provide the word we were looking for. Trump's bodyguard was a panderer. He provided gratification for Trump's desires. Because that was the old crime. You know, there's pimping, and then there's pandering. And pandering, pimping is offering. Pandering is procuring. There's our word.
That's interesting. So, in other words, I've been a panderer before. Okay.
Wait, I don't want to know if there's a statute of limitations involved. Just say nothing.
No, it was in college. You know how it is, man. But you get people of different backgrounds, and it's like, well, I've never been with a black girl. I'm like, well, why are you talking to me? Well, you always around all those pretty girls. I'm like, yeah. All right. Then I go talk to girl A. Well, that guy's interested in you.
Dude, can you hook me up?
Can you hook? Right. I mean, come on, man. If I want to get some, like, you know, I just fucking approach it.
Careful there. Careful. Careful.
I caught myself. I didn't say it. Come on, man. I had plenty of blonde hair, blue-eyed women and all. I had everything, man. But I sent you a picture
of my better half.
You saw my better half, right?
Yeah, but was they a miscegenating? I'm sorry.
I had a cowbell.
Look, this is, like I said with Dave, this is all so deadly serious, but by God, if you can't laugh at these dumbass redneck racist fucks, what can you do?
Man, yo, I have a cowbell as big as a house, and I just bring it. Man, you're crazy.
That white man's crazy. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no.
White people.
I tell you, that water's cold and deep, too. Yo, man. Well, we had to get up out there. People have lost their fucking minds, man. I don't know. Are these people zombies? I mean, honest to God, all the information is in front of their faces, and they're just like in fucking the world. What the fuck? What does it take? I mean, this is this, and I know somebody else was talking, but this is why I want. So look. At this point now, and I'm concerned about this shit. I was joking about the Canes last night, you know, in the houses of the Senate and the House. But you see, if these people cannot trust each other in their own party over simple facts, how the fuck are we supposed to get this government working?
And I don't know the answer to that. Friday's the drop dead date. The Republicans control both houses of Congress. Chuck Schumer is by no means Mitch McConnell to Harry Reid. If the government shuts down, they have to own it. But you know, the question is, will they? Because
but wait a minute, but Bob, if you listen to the fucking idiots. That call in and Fox News people, the Democrats are obstructionists. Which, how can you be an obstructionist when you don't own shit?
They can't obstruct anything right in the House, that's for damn sure. And there's not much they can obstruct in the Senate.
Not much, no. There's not much. And that's why I sent you an email about our buddy from Alabama. I don't know, man. I think he's smelling his swing vote. Because, you know, something's coming. There's going to be some changes. But I don't know if I trust him. I don't know.
Oh, who, Doug Jones?
Yeah.
No, he's making the noises, okay? He's just making the noises. When it comes down, he'll get most of it right. I mean, if Chuck Schumer puts out a bill to say limit white people who hoot about liberty a bunch from only buying 5,000 rounds of ammunition a month, he'll vote against that. He has to, because 28% of white men and 37% of white women who voted for him. Well, there are some things up with which they will not put, and they got to have their Second Amendment freedoms.
Mm.
There are still bridges too far. So, I mean, that's...
What's going to be the news tomorrow? We wake up. I mean, what's going to happen?
Oh, I don't think it's... I don't think the shithole is going away anytime soon. But there may be further reverberations out of the whole physical examination business. I mean, the fact of the matter is, according to his own doctor, he grew, this is not a joke, he grew an inch between 2012 and 2016.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry, man. Wait. Okay.
So in 2012, he went to get a driver's license in New York, and his height is listed as 6 feet, 2 inches tall, 74 inches. It was issued when he was 65 years old, May 2012. Well, as of today, he is 75 inches tall and weighs 239 pounds. Here's why that
lying fuck.
No, here's why that matters. If he was only 74 inches tall and 239 pounds, he would be medically obese.
Right. That's the BMI index.
That extra inch gives him some wiggle room, or should we say jiggle room. Wait a minute, give him my cowbell. Get off my cowbell.
Go ahead.
Jiggle
room.
Jiggle room, yeah. And I mean, look, that's roughly where I am. After I lost all that weight at the beginning of last year.
Where? You're in his jiggle room?
No, shut up. Six two and 230.
Oh, okay.
And
what?
Yeah.
How much do you weigh?
230.
Holy cow.
I got down to like 210, and then I started being able to eat food again. It's a bad thing for me.
That's
eating food.
That's good, though. Okay.
Trump cannot be medically obese because, of course, he's got the best body, the most beautiful body, and he's got the best genes, and he's got great genes, and great genes would never allow him to be medically obese.
What a disgusting piece of shit.
Did you measure his girth? Do you know what his waist's? Nah, we don't measure that kind of thing.
I don't give a fuck. You look at that goddamn motherfucker's pants. Look, who the fuck? He's got two human beings and he's pant leg. That motherfucker is wide as shit. And that's the worst place to carry weight around your fucking waist. And let me tell you something. Needs a hot colonic.
It's another great moment in movie references. You know how much I love the original Men in Black film.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't? That was a cool film, man.
That scene where Will Smith has just run down the alien, and the big old cop is giving him shit and says, "If you were half the man I am," and before he can get the rest of it out, Will Smith looks at him and goes, "What are you talking about? I am half the man you are." Get on the treadmill.
I couldn't say shit.
Meanwhile, Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana says, "Bob, I'm 6'2 and 260. If that motherfucker only weighs 239, then I weigh 150. Meanwhile, you got a note from Scott and Punky. Scott, having not said a word about watching a certain movie last night yet.
I was about to say, Scott.
Tell Todd. He asked about what it'll take to get the government working again. Hint. They're not interested in having government work. Please ask him to watch the 2016 documentary on YouTube, Normalization. That's ISATION, British spelling. It's worth the time it takes to watch it. So is the Big Lebowski.
Oh, I can do that. I don't know, man. You know what? So right now,
but
we have...
I was going to say, Scott's got a point because... Democrats do want government to work again. Republicans seek office to keep government from working.
This is true.
So the key to getting government working again is to get rid of the people who don't want government to work.
All right, how many months do we have? Because this shit is so important, this next election. I mean, this is bigger than a president.
What is it, November 6th?
Yeah.
So,
well, I guess.
9 months and some days.
That's not long.
And in the meantime, along the way, you got primaries, and those things scare me to death.
Oh, but they're fun.
They are if you're a political grown-up, Todd.
But that's when you get to that's when you feel good. You come home, you got your little fucking sticker. You know, I was a third person in my fucking district to vote, and you get to vote for the team
but if,
you want.
But if the goddamn centrists win, it doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
Fucking centrists, establishment shills, neoliberals.
All right.
And that's what scares me to death, is that you know, they'll go out there, they'll support their candidate. Their candidate will then lose because they really don't know that much about campaigning. And then they'll say, well, goddamn DNC rigged it against us. And then they'll stay home.
Well, you got to explain it to them like it's a goddamn football game. Like, all right, your team in the division lost,
yeah,
but
I can't believe that you would expect them to watch football or any sports, dude. I mean, that's so plebeian. I mean, if you got to watch something, you can watch like Martian Batball or something, you know, live from Mars. That's the game in Kurt Vonnegut's Sirens of Titan, but never mind.
Okay.
You know, I mean, or like some free range, cruelty free hacky sack, maybe.
But Bob, we don't have time for no hippie bullshit. I love hippies, but this is not the time.
Yeah, and I'm not even saying I'm really not hippie punching on this. I don't like it for starters, but you know, tree beard and celery are not long on political acumen. Never have been.
But your message, see, I think you know what? I know you get weary of it, but maybe we got 9 months. And I know some people get pissed off when you tell them that. And that hence your joke, stop telling people how to vote. But I'm fucking sorry. The whole nature of our system is compromised. You know what? You're going to have to take – you can get with this. Like I said, you can get with this or you can get with that. And that is fucked up. This is okay. That is fucked up. That will kill you. This, you'll still live, and it may get better. That is poison. When presented with two choices, that's all you fucking got. You got two choices, the red pill or the blue pill. I mean, it's that fucking simple. That's why open primary states are fun. Like, that's one of the good things about South Carolina. We got open primary. You can vote for who the fuck you want to vote. It's a sport. Have fun with it while you can. But then when fucking shit is serious, you got to get serious. This is adult bull. This is adult shit. Shit. I like Jill Stein till she started doing ball hits before the goddamn plane ride. You know? For what?
Well, she never would have done.
I like bongus.
She never would have. She never would have done that if the Wi-Fi hadn't rotted her brain.
See, you're being nice. I know for a fact she had a vape. She was vaping, man. Come on. Oh, she was vaping, man. So gather ye trichomes while ye may, and twist them up in club cabaret. That's all I can say.
Oh, the club cabaret with how I miss it. Doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't exist?
No, Club Cabaret with papers? No, they do not exist anymore.
Oh.
You can get the little tiny ones, but the Club Cabaret with that were just perfect, they do not exist anymore.
Well, you know, before I moved, I was getting the bamboos. They were two for a dollar.
Yeah, those aren't bad.
They're not bad. They were two for a dollar, man. They're fucking like 28 sheets a pack. I mean, you know, if that's what you want to do or whatever.
You know, the
but
stuff,
I'm just saying.
But the stuff they got up at the Rippy Mart, you know, it's like rolling with copy paper. I mean, it just is.
Good God. But that's what I'm saying. I just cringe. When I see my neighbors, man, they got God's goodness. And they're putting in this goddamn nasty-ass fucking Philly blunt. I'm like,
No. We don't have time. This is another conversation. Maybe this is a Friday conversation. No, wrapping.
See that shit, Bob.
Wrapping cannabis in nasty ass, floor sweeping, cigar wrappers, is a crime against every. But it's so clever because the tobacco companies figured out a way to get the little potheads to get hooked on nicotine.
Ain't that some shit?
That's some shit, Todd. We got to get out of here, my friend.
Hey man, I hope you're eating well.
We're warm. Everything's good, and we got a couple of nights of nasty. Let's see, what are we looking at tonight? Ah, yes, the overnight low tonight is 5. But hey, the overnight low tomorrow is 11. So every day's a little closer to spring, and every day we're one day closer to the blooming of the red buds and ramp season here in the hills.
That's what's up. Hey, Bob, man. Listen, everybody, please do not make Bob dangle you over the ledge by your ankles until your quarters fall out of your pocket, because he'll do it. He will hold the fight. I'm telling you, it's not fucking pretty. Bob's a nice guy, but look, don't push him. So the easiest thing to do is just get online and contribute that way. Don't make him come to your house. He will fucking come to your house and knock on the door.
And I ain't bringing and I won't be bringing barbecue.
You won't be.
Nah, I appreciate it, Todd, because we had one of those goose egg nights tonight. It's a great big zero.
Well, the overnight crew will clean that up. I'm quite sure.
Hopefully, and if we can just finish Friday okay, then we got some fundraising free broadcasting to do to end out January, which would be awesome. Todd, you have a good night and take care of yourself.
You too. Thanks for stealing Dan.
Oh, my pleasure. Later. Our buddy Todd down South Carolina way. Covered a lot of ground with Todd. That was fun. And it's good to laugh too. Absolutely. And those are a couple of good laughs. So thanks, everybody. Thanks to all of you who participate in this little conversation, however you choose so to do. Thank you for sharing your precious finite time. Thank you to our all volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox, Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.